This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
And forever the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Those are strong statements. Did the Jews ever experience the rod of persecution? Did Hitler ever put the rod of persecution on the Hebrews? Of course he did. Well, question number two. Were the Jews ever in captivity in Babylon for 70 years? Yes or no? Question number three. Did Titus and the Romans temporarily defeat, sack, and burn Jerusalem in 70 AD? Did Titus temporarily sack, defeat, and burn Jerusalem? Next question. Are the incidents documented in Fox's Book of Martyrs historical facts? Are the incidents documented in Fox's Book of Martyrs historical facts? What about those accounts in that book that Mrs. DeBruler gave to me years ago, which I cherish? That book about Baptist persecution in the state of Virginia in the early years of the formation of this country. Were Baptists ever persecuted in America? Was Obadiah Holmes ever tied to a stake and lashed with a whip? Yes. Is the Church of the Lord Jesus being temporarily persecuted in many nations, including Sudan, Libya, and Syria, at this very hour? Last question. Do bad things ever happen to good people? Well, some of you have come in partway through with the questions, and you've been answering yes. And I would say that we would probably all agree that the answer to all those questions is yes, yes. The Hebrews have experienced persecution. They've experienced the rod at the hand of world emperors. The Jews were under the rod in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Titus and the Romans temporarily burned Jerusalem. The incidents in Fox's Book of Martyrs really took place. The Church of the Lord Jesus is experiencing horrendous persecution at this very hour. And yes, sometimes bad things do happen to godly people. The answer to all these questions, in spite of those who erroneously propound the prosperity gospel, is a sad yes. Now, if you took this psalm by itself and did not balance it with other portions of Hebrew history and sections of Christian church history, you might come out a proponent of the prosperity gospel if you just took this psalm, correct? They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good. If you didn't qualify this psalm with both Jewish Old Testament history and New Testament Christian history, you might come out a prosperity gospeler. Just get saved. Everything will always be wonderful. You'll never be persecuted. No one will ever resist you. No one will ever give you a hard time. Just walk with God. You'll never have trouble. But I would submit to you that this psalm can be explained in something that Pastor Peter and I do when we edit the video film for the children's programs. We take a lengthy piece of video, he plugs it in the program, and we can watch it. We can watch the totality of the video. We can see the end. We can see the epilogue. Or sometimes, partway through, I can say, Pastor Peter, stop it right there. Stop it right there. Freeze that frame. Freeze that frame. And we look in more detail at one frame, a still picture. May I suggest to you that Psalm 125 is the long, complete movie with the conclusion and the epilogue. God's people win. God's people win. But wait a minute now. Along the way, you have to fast, freeze some frames, and there's persecution. Do you see the difference? This is the long view. This is the whole movie, if you will. This is the conclusion and the epilogue. This is where it's going, thank God. But we must not be imbalanced, and we must not be unfaithful to history. We must also say there are some frames, there are some still pictures along the way that involve persecution and suffering. And so this is true. The Bible's always true. There are no errors in the Bible. The Bible records sins. The Bible is a faithful account of mistakes and errors. But there are no mistakes in the Bible. Do you see the distinction? The Bible is a faithful record, warts and all. The Bible is a faithful record of sins and mistakes and the errors of people, but there are no errors in the Bible. And so this is not wrong, but this is the long view. And for the next several weeks, we'll be looking at joy during short-term persecution. We'll use this psalm as a foil to investigate how we can have joy during short-term persecution. The biblical and historical reality is put into a qualified and balanced perspective in the book of Hebrews. Would you turn to the book of Hebrews? And I want you in your mind and heart to put certain passages from Hebrews alongside Psalm 125 so that we come out with a true and proper and balanced perspective. We're going to Hebrews chapter 2. And as we're turning to Hebrews 2, let me remind us of two other words from the Lord. He said, the servant is not above his master. The servant is not above his master. Do we want to be servants of the Lord? Well, if we want to be servants of the Lord, we should not expect to be above our master. Jesus also said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me. If the world hates you, you know it hated me. Now, let's look at both the long view and short view, a freeze frame. I'm starting at Hebrews 2:8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Short term or long term? Yeah, very good. Very good. That's the answer. In that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. That's the whole movie. That's the long view. That's conclusion and epilogue. But wait it now. We're going to freeze a frame. And we freeze the frame at the end of verse 8. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Psalm 125 is the first part of verse 8. But we also know that the last part of verse 8 is also true. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Oh, what's that? What's that? Oh, don't tell me. The suffering of death. I thought the Lord was surrounding Jerusalem. I thought the mountains of the Lord always protected Jerusalem. What's that? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That again is the freeze of just one picture. That is not focused upon in the longer, broader scheme of things in Psalm 125. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. There's going to be a wonderful, full-length perspective of victory. But now we come to another picture that we ought to freeze, and that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. That's us. He wanted to bring many sons and daughters to glory because they trust only in the merit of his own shed blood. It became him. It was suitable for him in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. I thought it was just a big, long movie of the Lord surrounding Jerusalem and the mountains always protecting Jerusalem. God the Father made the captain of their salvation perfect. William Newell, who taught decades and decades and decades ago at Moody Bible Institute, William R. Newell says the word perfect here means finished or complete. Remember Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Jesus was always perfect, but he had a work to finish, didn't he? He had a work to complete. So he didn't need to be perfected in the sense that he was less than sinless, but his work needed to be finished or completed. And that work could not be finished or completed apart from sufferings. Now come to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. You can start to look at the first of the chapter if you want. I'm going to take a very, very quick survey of Hebrews 11, and I'll just call names. The first part of Hebrews 11 deals with the faith sufferings and persecutions of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. So we have the record in the first section of Hebrews 11 of the faith, the sufferings, and the victory of all these heroes of faith. And then we come to verse 32. Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kings. Now, as I'm reading, I want you to be watching for a particular punctuation mark which signals a drastic change in the atmosphere of the end of this chapter. There's a particular punctuation mark, and oh my, the difference is the difference between day and night. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. That's Psalm 125. Oh, sure. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. That's what happened to Hezekiah when God delivered Hezekiah and Jerusalem from Sennacherib. Oh, yes, we're in Psalm 125 so far. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Hezekiah sent a message to the preacher Isaiah, and he was trembling. He was in sackcloth and ashes because he feared that Sennacherib was going to overrun Jerusalem, destroy them all. But out of Hezekiah's weakness, he was made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Sennacherib suddenly heard a rumor, left his siege of Jerusalem, went away, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. That's Psalm 125. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, we've been looking at a frozen frame. The last few verses, these all having obtained a good report. That's the whole movie. That's the long view. That's the conclusion of the movie, including the epilogue. The verdict of God is in these all, having obtained a good report. What? You mean the ones that were cut in half with swords and tortured? Yes, those two. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. No Psalm 125 for them. In their frozen frame, they're being cut in half. They have to hide in caves. They're being hunted like animals. No Psalm 125 for them. They received not the promise. They saw their frozen frame. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, I ask you to look for a certain punctuation mark, and it's a colon. And who found the colon where the atmosphere of these last verses of Hebrews 11 changed drastically? Who found the colon? Yes, Betty. Absolutely, Betty. Yes, the colon in verse 35. You know, it's so victorious. It's the long view. It's the whole move. It's the victorious deliverance. It's the conclusion. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Amen. Colon. And others were tortured. I have entitled Psalm 125, and let's go back there as I'm coming to the conclusion. I entitled it Joy During Short-Term Persecution. Psalm 125 is a long view, the big picture. But there were days and weeks during the siege when Hezekiah had not yet seen the conclusion. It is my opinion that if indeed Hezekiah wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is a looking back psalm. This is a long view after the fact. He's saying, God gave us victory. God proved himself strong for us. But ladies and gentlemen, this is an after-the-fact conclusion. What do we do during? What do we do when a frame of our life or the history of our church is frozen and it's still and it involves persecution, hurt, loss, devastation? He had the benefit of hindsight. But what do you do before you get the hindsight? What do you do short term? When all that's in front of your face is cancer. Or a town planning commission that doesn't think that its greatest mission in life is to provide you with permission to build a school building. What do you do short term? How do you have joy during short-term persecution? We'll look at very specific ways to keep joy when Psalm 125 is not your testimony at the moment. Don't raise your hands or answer out loud. Have any of you ever had days, months, or even half years when Psalm 125 was not the description of your life? I think most of us have. It's wonderful when we can look back and take the long view and say, oh, Psalm 125, victory, victory, victory. Strong mountains, eternal God, victory, victory, victory. But how do we have joy before we get to the end of the movie? How do we maintain joy until we get to the epilogue and see it in hindsight? In the next message, we'll look at very practical ways to maintain your joy when you cannot honestly say that right now is a Psalm 125 time. I think if I could peek inside your heart and mind, I think if you could peek inside my heart and mind, we would discover quite a few frozen frames when old Sennacherib was threatening and the Rabshakeh was boasting and cussing, right? And we were just being persecuted. Well, how do we have joy when Psalm 25 cannot be present tense, our testimony, because Psalm 125 is a hindsight testimony. It's long view. What do we do to have joy in the short term?
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory7@juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.